There is a space in my heart where I find the truth. I find me in you, a truth beyond what you may see now. But when we are one, we bring more good about. No matter who or what you call yourself or where you come from, yeah. There is a place in this world with open arms right now. Welcome to love. Welcome to peace. Welcome to our community. Be who you are. Let your light shine. We're so much more when we unite. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. Unfold, embrace and let go. Trust the flow. There's a freedom in love when you follow your heart. Together we are stronger than we could ever be apart. No matter who or what you call yourself or where you come from, yeah, there is a place in this world with open arms right now. Welcome to love. Welcome to peace. Welcome to our community. Be who you are. Let your light shine. We're so much more when we
been having fun behind the scenes. Good morning. Yes, yes, yes. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. Good day to you wherever you happen to be at this very moment in time. We welcome you to this place, to this community. We invite you to be who you are and show up as the magnificent being that you are. Thank you for saying yes to life. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Ade Show. I am Ade Anifowoshe on 1-2 Radio, 1-2Radio.com. I wanted to do my radio voice because I felt like I was getting a bit serious there. So let me start that again. You are listening to the Ade Show. I am Ade Anifowoshe, 1-2 Radio, 1-2Radio.com. I don't know why I'm going deep. It won't last, so don't worry. 1-2 Radio, this is where we are changing the way you dance with life and the way you create your reality. You know you have the power, right? You have the power to create your reality. You have the power to change your reality. You have the power to be happy now. You have the power to opt out. You even have the power to send an email to all people on your contact list and say, listen, I have a new terms of services, because everybody else is sending email out. New terms of services. Like, what's going on in the world? So change your reality. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to the show live, thank you. If you're listening to the replay, thank you. If you're listening to the on-demand, thank you. It is Transformational Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. Time check. It is 5 after the hour. I'm excited. I got a guest. Well, I don't know why I'm saying I'm excited. Like, that's unusual. One day I'm going to come on the show and say, I don't feel like being here. I have no motivation at all. No, of course, you got to say I'm excited when you're doing something like this. So I'm excited to be here. So I want to invite you to join me in the chat room. I didn't even know where. Okay, anyway, move on. I want to invite you to join me in the chat room. And if you haven't been in the chat room before, this is how you get through the door. Ooh, I'm a poet and I know it. If you haven't been to the chat room before, this is how you get through the door. Ooh, I love it. Anyway. Okay, it's all over now. It's all over. Go to 12radio.com. It's a good thing Shannon is muting herself. She muted herself. I know she did. She's wise. Go to...
Oh, I'm not too muted. You know me better than that.
Right. Go to 12radio.com. That's number one, number two, radio.com. Top left, click on the chat link. You need a Facebook account to get into the chat room. And if you have a Facebook account and you don't mind creating one and you're good with everything about it, create one if you don't have one yet and come into the chat room. The chat room is a closed group, which means whatever you share in the chat room, on the chat room, won't show up on your timeline. But, you know, be responsible for whatever you share in there. Know that people are people. Copy and paste is still an active function. But if you don't mind it being shared on other people's stuff, then do it. But what I am saying is, the way it's designed, you share it in there, it won't show up on your timeline. Facebook won't tell them you just posted something. Okay? That's all. Oh, by the way, if you're trying to get to the chat room through your mobile device or phone, it's a little bit trickier. So once you get into the chat room, you want to look for pinned post, P-I-N-N-E-D, not pen, not P-E-N, P-I-N, pinned post. Click on that, and then you probably would need to click comments. I'm going to go in there to make sure. I don't know how to get there. Yes, I do. I'm doing too many things at once. I'm thinking and talking and hosting a radio show. That's a bad combination. So anyway, I'm here. Okay, yeah. So when you get in there, you will see all the family in the house. Yay, Raven is here early. Ooh, she stayed up all night. She doesn't do that anymore. She's got an alarm set. Good morning, Raven. Good morning, Quali. She said, Ade and Shan. Morning blessings. Morning blessings to you, Quali. Leslie is in the house. Oh, my days. Oh, my heck. Oh, my heck. Leslie's here. What they call it? Behind the scenes joke. No, it's a private joke. That's what it is. Great day to you all, Leslie said. Greg sends us some love. Nice to see you, Greg. Eva Ever is in the house. She said, good morning, Ade and all chatters. Christina LaFrance, the host of Christina LaFrance show on 12 Radio on Wednesday. Thank you, my sister friend, for being here. Jan is in the house. She said, good morning. Raven said, up all night. Oh, I guess she stayed up all night. Under the stars, I did play. Oh, she's trying to be poetic. Oh, she said, up all night. Under the stars, I did play. So I wouldn't miss this morning listening to Ade. Ooh, you're not quite there. You keep working on your art. Poetic pantry, that's what Greg said. And Jackie is in the house. She said, the best way to start the day is with Ade. He's a poet and he knows it. You damn right I do. All right, let me step out the chat room. I'll come back later. I got a guest in here. I want to make sure I give you everything. I have a guest. Her name is Shannon Gill, or you can call her Shan. Sometimes when she wants to hide, when she goes to, you know, go on tour and don't want people to really know who she is, she books an hotel, 5-star penthouse. Shan Gill, please.
Those 5-star penthouses are great.
I heard.
I had to ask somebody else about it.
Who had a pen name, huh?
Exactly.
So, yes, the phone lines are open, 857-232-0155, 857-232-0155. extension 870303. 870303 is the extension number. We're taking your calls to support you on your journey, which you're moving through. My guest could maybe share some tips about mindfulness. We're going to talk more about that, how you can find joy and peace and happiness right where you are, tapping to your intuition, coaching you, supporting you to see what needs to be seen and embrace all of life, no matter how messy it looks. Because in the mess is the message. When you get the message, you become the messenger of truth. Thank you, Christy, for producing the show to add into my vocabulary. I have another way to curse now. And silent listeners, New Jace, Jackie, nice to see you. Nice to feel you. Nice to know you're there. Nice to know you're there, Tonya. Sometimes Zinni should be hanging out. And Michelle also be hanging out. That's right. They be hanging out. Speaking of hanging out, I want to invite you to hang out with 1-2 Listen advisors, myself included. Of course, I'm not there right now, but there are others there. 1-2Listen.com. Number one, number 2Listen.com. The home of spiritually grounded advisors who can support you in moving through whatever you are growing through. Whatever you want, you will find somebody to help you. Because we're tapped in, we're turned on, and we're ready to just turn you out. So come check us out and make sure you sign the 1-2 Promotions mailing list. Speaking of mailing list, sign my mailing list on lifecoachade.com. Lifecoachade.com is an invitation. You don't have to, but please, but you don't have to. You know, just come hang out. I'm building my mailing list and it's growing. Oh, I think that's everything I need to share with you because I want to jump into this conversation. And today's topic, today's theme, today's conversation is around organic spirituality. Really, what is organic spirituality? It's like, you know, people eat organic foods, something that hasn't been tampered with, something that hasn't been modified, something that just comes straight from the farm and doesn't have pesticides. You know, some of the spiritual things that we're learning has got all kind of pesticides in it. Like, oh, you have to do it this way or else you can't be free. Bullshit. I need another way of saying that, but I did say that. I make no apologies for expressing my organic spiritual self because I do use those words every now and then. So anyway, yeah, we want to talk about organic spirituality, your pure essence. Life itself is designed to grow you, to expand you, to support you. And it's fine to do the spiritual practice, to learn, to read. And it is important to remember that you are already where you want to be. So you might need to just let go of some thoughts, some belief system, the beliefs that you have about yourself or what you're not or what you are, what you're struggling with. There is a pure essence about you. So we're going to help you tap into that and live from that. But before I do that, I am going to read Shannon's bio, and I was sharing with Shannon that there is one word, I think, where there's two words, actually. I think the other one is decision. Decision, I think I've mastered that. It trips me up when I say it, but there's this word. I'll spell it first so you know what the hell I'm talking about. S-T-R-A-T-E-G-Y. So it trips me up. And guess what she is? Shannon Gill is a so Shannon Gill is a STRATEGY consultant.
I told Ajay he could actually, of course, you know, I'm a strategy consultant, but those of us who make fun of ourselves, which is the fun thing to do, we call it strategery. So I really am going to mess him up because I'm going to throw in even new words that are just have no real meaning.
But, you know, if I try and adopt the American accent, say strategy, it's easy that way. But it doesn't feel authentic. Strategy. that word. Okay, she's a consultant. She's an author and a coach. it's all down the hill from here. She combines her decades of business and leadership experience with advanced work in intuitive intelligence and positive psychology to help organizations and individuals create conscious transformation during times of personal and business transition. She's also the that word. She's that word and strategy. Oh, I hate this. She's also that word and people development leader for Crossing Point Consulting, a group of highly experienced executives supporting organizations with change execution. Excuse me. She has worked in the corporate world for over 20 years, and she brings all that experience with her into the metaphysical world and other things that she does. In addition to consulting and coaching, Shannon also works with educators and children under the pen name Shan Gill through her cosmic book, Cosmic Kitty book series and merchandise. The goal of Cosmic Kitty is to teach mindfulness, self-worth, and metaphysics to kids through the adventures of the main character. She's a facilitator of Development Dimensions International Leadership Training, a certified life and career coach with the Life Purpose Institute, a certified Berkman consultant, trained in McNillis compression planning, gosh, she's busy, and has metaphysical certifications for intuitive development, Reiki, and Tarot. She lives and plays in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, check out her website. It is Shan Gill, shangill.com. Shannon.
The short version of all of that.
Well, actually, before you do that, my listeners will they will get on me if I don't do this because I have to bring you on, even though you're my friend, I know you, and we're tight like that. I got to bring you in the way I bring in my guests. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my dear friend, my sister, myself, Shannon Gill. Hello, Shannon. How are you doing today?
Hi, Aday. I am fantastic.
I'm high. Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. You know, I just, I'm so excited to be here, just to be in this beautiful energy and spirit with everyone. I'm thrilled. So thank you so much for having me.
Are you sure about that? You say this dude is too crazy for me to be on a radio show with him.
No, I am all good. And we all show up the way we're supposed to. And so what I appreciate about everyone that I encounter is their authenticity. And if you showed up any other way, then I would be disappointed because I knew it wouldn't be authentic.
Okay, good. So if anything that I do you don't like, listeners, blame it on Shannon because I'm ready to let it rip. I'm tapping into my organic spiritual self. So anyway, so Shannon, you do a lot. You're doing a lot. And we're going to talk about your book. And you know, the things that come up for me is just to talk about your journey. You've been... You know, it's like you've been through a lot and you I want to say you started the corporate world, but you did. You started through your mom's womb. But tell us about your journey, you know, even before that. But OK, we won't go too deep. Tell us about your journey. How did you get to this point where you're now teaching metaphysics and mindfulness to children and adults who are open?
Yeah, it's been an amazing thing. And I am always so fascinated with the way that spirit shows up. I didn't know those terms when I was younger, even though I did grow up as a devout Southern Baptist. So I was very religious, but not spiritual.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it was a beautiful part of my journey. It was part of my learning. And everything that has happened to me over the course of my 47 years has been part of my spiritual journey. And my evolution. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for all the things that have happened to me along the way. But I did start out very much in the business. I was a debater. I was going to be a lawyer, which now you can say I'm thankful I didn't do that, obviously. So that was actually a really good turning point of not being a lawyer. But I did a lot of that kind of thing in high school. I went to St. Andrews Presbyterian College in North Carolina. I spent some time in Scotland as part of that experience, which was a beautiful story in and of itself of how I got there, along with how I got to St. Andrews, which I'll be happy to share. But the short version is that I ended up going into the business world because my dad is a banker. My mom's a scientist turned horse farmer. And so business seemed a very logical thing to do in our family. And I went pure on corporate, right? I was just, I lived in Hong Kong for 5 years. I ended up working for Walt Disney, did the whole MBA thing at Georgetown. So for literally 25 years, I was very much, very focused in the corporate world. I was doing operations. I was doing consulting. I was doing product. Obviously strategy was my most recent role in the corporate world. But through all of that, I've just learned so many things. So that's sort of my work career. But what happened is a couple of different things. The first thing that happened that sort of put me on my path, and I've been on my path all the way through, but the very first thing that got me recognizing intuition, because when I was a child, I really shut down my intuition. Some things happened. I was very emotional as a child. I didn't understand how much I really valued that intuition until I shut it down. But when I got ready to go to college, I ended up, because I think I mentioned I was a debater, and literally my first experience reopening my intuition kept me from being murdered. So I literally was going to go to a school in Birmingham, Alabama, and I had a full scholarship, free ride, everything, and my gut, which I had turned off, started just retching me. I mean, everything in my body said, this is just not a good decision. There's something wrong with me going here, even though it was a free ride for college, which is what every kid dreams about, right? No expenses. Right. And so I started praying about it because that's what I did at the time. And what happened was when I started praying about it, the other school I was looking at, which I ended up going to, called and said, hey, we can give you a little bit more money. It's not a full scholarship, but we can give you some more scholarship money because they were already giving me some. My parents, being very wise, said, look, you know, you have two choices. Do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. So I went to the school. I turned down the full scholarship, went off to this little school in North Carolina, St. Andrews, which is a fantastic little school, liberal arts school. The next fall, the debate coach that I was actually going to be debating for ended up murdering one of my friends who was also a student over a debate round. So he basically went completely ballistic, murdered somebody, he stayed around for a while, and then he disappeared.
What happened? How did that happen? Why did that
They got into a fight over a debate round, and he murdered him with a pair of scissors. It was an act of passion. Yeah, it was crazy. But it was the first time. So of course, it was really tough for me.
And you would have been on that team, right?
I would have been there. I would have been there right in the middle of all that paparazzi all over the campus. Because the guy went on America's Most Wanted. I mean, he disappeared for months. And then they caught him. And now he's in jail. And still, because this was in 1989. And but that, you know, all of a sudden I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, that intuition thing. That's really important, you know, when your body and intuition is trying to tell you something, it is so important to listen. Yes. And so I started opening back up at that point. I was still very much on the corporate trail, but at least that got me listening again. And I ended up in Hong Kong because I was listening to my intuition. I actually fought the divine spirit on that a little bit. My ego got in the way. But at the end of the day, spirit won, and I ended up going and spent 5 years there, and it was perfect. It was exactly where I was supposed to be. It was amazing. So my intuition has really been a huge piece. Fast forward to 2001, my soulmate was killed in 9/11, and that actually completely, whereas I was already playing with my intuition in my 20s, right? I was kind of understanding what was happening, even though I was very much hardcore business girl. But after that happened, that was my awakening, if you will. I started reading Neil Donald Walsh. I started reading Carolyn Mays. I started getting into sort of the metaphysical because I was asking why, you know, why did this have to happen? As so many of us were doing after 9/11, it was a huge awakening for the entire planet, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. And, It was.
So I did some work with that in my 30s, went through a couple of relationships, you know, lived down in Columbus, Georgia for 11 years, lived in Baltimore, did some things. And then when I was really opening back up again, you know, you kind of go through cycles. And this is the thing I want people to understand, because we all think that we can jump on the metaphysical mindfulness bandwagon and everything is going to be fantastic. But it's a journey. And sometimes you're flowing up, sometimes you're flowing down, or what you perceive to be up and down. The reality is it's all exactly what it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. It's all perfect. And I'll give you an example of what that perfection can look like. When I was in,
Before you go to the perfection thing, I want to just talk about that intuitive part and intuition, because you talked, you said you turned it off. Did you turn it off consciously, or just the process you went through when you through being corporate America that you just were part of you that you weren't listening to?
Yeah, that, well, what happened was, I had some situations of bullying when I was a kid, and I was bullied, and I had some situations around shame. You know, Brené Brown does some amazing work and research on that topic. But I basically found that emotions didn't work for me. I was in a family with a corporate banker, and my parents are incredibly loving and wonderful people. But, you know, we didn't do a lot of emotion sharing. We said we loved you, we gave hugs, but there wasn't a lot of emotion. It was very much about, you know, just suck it up, buttercup, you know, life is hard, keep going. And that was, even though we had a great time, it was still that kind of thought process. And so I turned into the good girl. You know, I just shut everything down and said, okay, I need to just focus on this life that I need to work with, and just, you know, go after the logic and turn off the emotion. Mm. Yeah. So just some things.
So you,
like that.
So you were living out what you've learned. What you learn from your environment, from your parents, right?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And what I found in some of the work I've done with Berkman and some of the other things that I've done as part of my path, and including my life coaching and all that, is that I actually am highly, highly sensitive. And I didn't, even more so than most people, and I didn't realize what a drastic shift I had made turning off that side of me. I still did really well with it. I mean, I'm not trying to say it wasn't creeping back in a lot, because it did, but it's the difference in doing it consciously or unconsciously. Yes. And making a choice to engage with your intuition and to work with it, and, you know, allow it to work with you and to connect up to the oneness. Or is it that it forces its way in against your will? And so when you invite it in, it just makes such a huge, huge difference, because it's a conscious choice.
Indeed. So let me ask you this. When you, I don't know why I'm asking permission to ask you a question when I'm going to be asking you a question. Of course I'm going to ask you this. Why am I saying let me ask you this? I'm going to ask. Okay. Okay. Just got myself back into my center. So when, during that time when you found out that the debate coach had killed someone, and you knew that you would have been in the midst of all of that, and who knows what could have happened to you then, did at that time, were you aware that the reason you weren't part of that was because you listened to your body, you listened to your intuition, or did you just have a slight nudge but you carried on? Basically what I'm asking is, were you aware of that major pivotal moment of your life, or you just kind of remembered that, oh, I had a funny feeling about it, I'm glad I didn't go? What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I knew exactly, because the feeling and the intuition I had around it was so strong, and I had never had a feeling that strong about not going to school there. You know, and when I called him to turn down the scholarship, he turned cold as ice on me. You know, and this is a coach, someone who's coaching college kids. You'd think that they would be compassionate and that they would care about your future. And he got so angry with me just on the phone when I turned down the scholarship. So at that point, I knew that I had made the right decision, because he got so cold. And then it was the following fall, when we were all freshmen in our various schools, when he killed one of my friends and my mentor. And, you know, and I realized I would have been in the middle of all that. Now, I still struggled. My entire freshman year was really tough in college, because I was an emotional wreck. And a lot of it was not just, you know, being somewhere different, but that situation, because I even buried the emotions on that, you know, on losing my friend. And it was really tough, but I continued to thank God, because at the time I was still very Southern Baptist. So for me, it was a answered prayer, is the way I thought about it. And the way that I understood it in my religious upbringing. But yeah, I was very conscious that my prayer had been answered, even though I didn't know I had a prayer about it. That I had been protected. You know, I thought of it as a protection that I had gotten from the divine.
So, and then, so at that point, when you went to the corporate world, did you make a conscious decision to shut that down, or were you still incorporating what you were getting intuitively, the work that you did?
So actually, that's a great question, because I got sort of an intuitive hit that I needed to move to Hong Kong in my senior year. And I had never been to Asia. I didn't speak Mandarin or Cantonese. I had spent a year in Scotland, and I had traveled all over Europe, and I loved international, and I wanted to do international business. But my dean of students, so the divine gives you internal and external cues. This was an external cue. My dean of students at the time, who was a brilliant man, business suit and Birkenstocks, it was awesome. And he was like a Harvard, Princeton, Yale guy. But every time I saw him during my senior year, because he knew I wanted to do international business, he said, "You need to go to Hong Kong." This is 1993, so you could do that then. "You need to go to Hong Kong. You need to get on a plane, take your resume in hand, go over there. We have alumni, sleep on their couch, get a job." And I'm like, "Dude, what are you smoking? Seriously, what are you smoking? Can I have some?" But I thought he was nuts. But every time I saw him, that was the nudge. And because he was just determined that that's what I should be doing out of all the students in this school. You know, that's, I needed to get on a plane and go get a job over in Asia. Mm-hmm. Girl from South Georgia, you know. I was still kind of very much in the business mode. I was going to be a business person. And I was like, well, I'll just do my research, because my research will obviously prove him wrong. So I started researching, and this is 1993.
Stepping into the logical side, right, to prove wrong.
Yeah, that exactly. Logic. I was going to logic, man. I was totally going to logic.
Oh, hell no. Intuition is not going to win over this.
Exactly. Yeah, getting hit, that's probably a good thing to do, but hell no. You know, what am I? I'm not going to get on a plane and go looking for a job in a foreign country I've never been to? Really? Seriously? But everybody I talked to was like, oh, that's a great idea. Because I was interviewing business people, right? I went and talked to business people about this. I went to talk to bankers. I went and talked to folks. And even I thought, well, it doesn't matter, because my dad is never going to go for this. And I need his financial support to even get a plane ticket, you know, coming out of college. I was like, so it doesn't matter. My dad's going to shut this down so fast, you know, Mr. Banker.
So you're trying to put the blame on your dad. Your dad's fault for you not following the guidance.
Yeah, well, and so what happened there is my mom interceded. And because my mom was a military brat, so she was Air Force, so she lived all over the world. So she had a lot of really great international experiences. And so she actually, my dad and my mom at that point were doing cocktail parties every week. You know, they were doing corporate stuff. So every time a group of people would get around my dad that my mom would love this idea, and they'd say, "Hey, what's Shannon up to these days?" As you do with these things. And she would be, "Oh, she's thinking about moving to Hong Kong to work." My dad's like, "What?" And the friends are all like, "What a great idea. I would totally do that." Mm. So even in the places I wasn't, you know, the divine was interceding and trying to cut off all avenues that would keep me from not going. So I did. I finally gave in. I caved and said, obviously, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the intuition I'm getting. I need to listen to it. It was one of the best moves I ever made in my entire life. I got a job within 3 weeks of getting there. I worked for a Chinese manufacturing company. I was their first and only Western employee to ever work there. They almost fired me 10 times. I almost quit 20 here. But I developed Walt Disney as a client and then ended up going and working for them and spent 5 years in Hong Kong doing international business and meeting some phenomenal, phenomenal people that are still very close soulmate type friends, people that I'm sure are in my soul groups to this day.
It's, you know, I listened to that story in what I feel and sense and just this present for me is this idea that, you know, the show topic is organic spirituality, and intention is to remind ourselves, to remind listeners that there is a part of us that is designed for, I don't want to say success, because we have different ideas of what success is. There is a part of us that's divinely designed to get us to where we need to be. And sometimes we fight it, sometimes we resist it, but the fighting and the resisting is all part of the process. So for me, it's like that organic spiritual nature, your organic spiritual nature was guiding you, orchestrating everything, conspiring so that you can get to this place that you would, obviously it was written in your, in the book of your life that you were going to be there, and there was nothing you could have done to stop it, because as much as you tried to, it didn't happen. Some things we're able to stop and then later on maybe regret or have to forgive ourselves, but that I really believe that the journey of life, that we are here for a certain mission, and we get to decide what that is for ourselves, and eventually life will get us to a point where we can just pay attention to it. So you talk about it, almost fired you 10 times, you almost quit 20. It's like, no matter what you did, your spiritual nature was like, nope, not yet, not time, not cooked yet. It's not cooked yet.
We're not done. We are not done. So yeah, it was true. And it's amazing, Ade, that so many times the things that we are meant to do will come back to us several times until we are ready to accept it. That's what happened with Cosmic Kitty.
That's what I was just going to say. Let's fast forward. So you left the corporate world.
I only left the corporate world last year. So okay.
Were you pushed and out? Literally, did you walk out?
I walked out. Happened? Well, I walked. Wow. Actually, it's awesome. My spirit guides made me leave. I wasn't ready to leave.
You always have to blame somebody. My spirit guide made me do it.
Well, I knew it was coming, but the day that I did it, I knew it was coming very soon. So I already was, I knew that I was going to be leaving because I wanted to start my own business. So I knew that was in the cards. I wasn't sure exactly how far out it was. But the day that I was meant to leave, they wouldn't let my computer. I was going to work from home that day. And I just gotten off of this beautiful retreat. So I was coming back from vacation in this gorgeous retreat that I was at with our good friend John Stringer and Arlene Moshi, who was phenomenal as a clairvoyant. And literally the day I got back, none of my computers would work. I couldn't work from home. And my guide said, today is the day you need to turn in your resignation. And I said, today, I don't know. Have you seen
my rent? What are you smoking?
Have you seen my rent? have you seen my, my costs? And they said, no, it's today. Look at the calendar and you'll see why. And so what I realized when I looked at my boss's calendar is that he was going to be traveling for like 3 or 4 weeks. And this was the only time I was going to be able to have a face-to-face conversation with him probably in the next month. Wow. And I went in to have a meeting with him. So I put some time on his calendar, which is unheard of. I managed to get 30 minutes, same day, which is very unusual. Mm-hmm. And I went in to meet with him. And the first thing he tried to do was dump a whole bunch of projects on me that were going to just completely stress me out. Mm-hmm. In a whole new direction that we were going, and something that I knew I just had no energy to work on. And I said, well, before we do that, let me tell you why I wanted to talk to you. But the result, though, because again, spirit took care of me. The result was that I did leave the organization. I gave them a month's notice. So I gave them plenty of notice because I was the head of strategy for, a top 500 company. So you can't just walk away from those stuff and not feel guilty and not want to help. So I gave them a month's notice, but then they basically brought me back as a contractor 2 days a week, which was exactly what I could tolerate from a corporate perspective at the time, and paid me a nice sum of money to consult. So I consulted with them for another 4 or 5 months. So Spirit did not just cut me off at the ankles and say, hey, you got to fend for yourself. They provided an opportunity to say, hey, we will actually work less, make more. This will work. And so because I listened, I ended up still working for them literally through last fall. And I still do some work for them, actually. Now almost a year later, I still do a lot of consulting work for my old company, but it's on my terms and not in terms of the way that the job was structured.
So let me ask you this, and we're going to talk about the book because we're getting there. But I also want to shine some light because it's sort of easy to think, when we listen to people talk about their journey, read books, it's like, oh, spiritual teachers, they don't really go through no challenges. They tap into their intuition, listen to their guides. The guide tells them quit today. They go into work. They get a 30 minutes as unusual and everything just works out. But for me, my life is different. I'm not like that. What are the things that happen in between those golden moments that just sucked out loud that you had to grow through?
Oh, yeah. No, there are lots and lots of those. And literally, you know, a couple of long-term relationships that didn't work out. You know, but there are so many. But then what you do, and this is, I think, when you're on your spiritual journey and path, and of course, hindsight is 20/20. But when you're on there, when you're in the middle of it, you don't always realize the blessing of what's happening for you.
Right.
But there can be some rocky roads. I mean, I had some financial devastation because I took some advice from a boyfriend, sold a bunch of stock that was at bottom that is now, I won't even talk about it. But, you know there are all kinds of things that...
you can talk about it. You called me one to listen later on. We can talk about it some more.
it's okay. It's fine. It's, at the time, I thought I was doing the right thing. At the time, I thought it was the right move, and it was not. But I was, listening to someone, not my own intuition. I went against my intuition. And I did it out of fear. And so we catch ourselves a lot of times when we are having these massive breakdowns. I've dealt with depression. I had years I was on antidepressants. So it's not a beautiful journey all the time by any stretch. There is a lot of faith involved, but there's also a lot of learning and what we consider to be struggle. We, of course, as we know from our good friend, Mr. Stringer, suffering is a personal thing. It's something we create by not accepting what's going on. And that sounds good and that sounds lovely. But the reality is there are things that we would like to have happen in our life.
I know that's that right.
We can struggle with. And when you can get yourself, though, out of the vibration of self-pity and self-blame, and I do mean, there is self-blame and blaming others both. And take action. That is one of the things I actually wrote about this, I guess it was last year, and I've had some people come back recently to blog on my site, talking about what metaphysical people can learn from the corporate people. Mm-hmm. And part of it is action. So often on our metaphysical journey, we say, oh, I'll just wait and let it all happen for me. But that's that's not how it works. This is a free will life. Mm-hmm. And, spirit will continue to offer you up opportunities and try to push you where you need to be. But at the end of the day, if I had put my foot down and said, I am not going to Hong Kong, no way, shape, or form, I still would have had that option. I may have come back again a couple of years later. I may have met the people that I was meant to meet in a different way. But we do have free will. And so a lot of it is about how do we find the path that is most aligned to what we had planned for ourselves. Yes. So that it feels a little bit easier, but it's not always easy by any stretch.
Action is one of the most important ingredients for creation. Mm-hmm. There's got to be action. And Absolutely. Sometimes the action is in being still, in visualizing or feeling what it feels like to have the thing that you desire. And you have to take the steps. You have to pray and move your feet. It's one thing to pray for somebody, but if your actions is not backing up your prayer, it's pointless. So let's fast forward, because I want to talk about, see if I can squeeze all of this in. We're going to create magic together. We're talking about Cosmic Kitty.
Always.
We're talking about happiness. And, we talked about joy. So your intuition got to a point where you handing your resignation, you got a better deal, you even went through different kind of workshops to just help you on your spiritual journey. And out of that spiritual journey, you gave birth to a book. Tell us how the birthing happened.
Yeah. So, I did this in parallel. So a lot of the classes that I took, I started taking in 2015. I just had this feeling I needed to start taking classes. And I'd already worked with some intuitive readers and things like that. So I was already open to working with those things. But one of the things that I did in 2015, and it was literally a feast of metaphysical workshops that year. I was doing so many different things, from being Reiki certified to doing a 5-month intuitive development, psychic development class, to taking a 36-week energy workshop with Kumari Healing. And then the other thing I did was an intuitive painting workshop. And that was in July of 2015. And I went to this intuitive painting workshop in the mountains. It was phenomenal. It was like a 5-day retreat. Called Soul Sensuality. And I had never done anything like that. You know, a friend of mine was involved, so I said, okay, I'll go support, and it sounds cool, and, you know, that sounds good. I haven't picked up a paintbrush in, you know, 20 years, but hey, what the heck. And it's not for, you know, it's not for artists. It's basically for a dialogue with your soul is what it is. It's a facilitated process of expressing yourself through these massive 4-foot by 3-foot pieces of paper, and then you end up taping them together and just paint whatever comes out. So I stood in front of this after some meditation and some dance. So I stood in front of this piece of paper, and it was very clear to me exactly what needed to be painted. There was no question whatsoever. And what demanded to be painted was a cartoon character I sketched when I was 7 years old. Literally, I used to do doodles when I was 7, going back to, and that was about the same time I turned off my intuition from a timing perspective. But I used to doodle hearts and flowers and added whiskers and added hair and added eyelashes and bodies and the sun and the moon and the flowers and, you know, like little girls do, because it was 7. But I had done all these doodles growing, you know, in when I was 7, 8, and then I got out of that and did some other stuff. But one of the characters that I used to doodle all the time, basically, here I am, 45 years old, staring at a blank piece of paper, and you have to draw this heart figure. So literally, I started by painting a big heart, and then I added whiskers, and I added eyes, and I added lashes, and I added hair, and added a body, and a day and a half later, literally, because it's part of the process, you know, all of her stories coming through, other characters, and I end up with this massive, you know, 4-foot by 6-foot drawing or painting that I've created. That's just, it's a mess because it's an intuitive process. And it's after I did that, didn't have a name. The character, my doodle never had a name. My doodle was just a doodle when I was 7 years old. There was no character there. It was just a doodle. And now in this process of this intuitive painting retreat, you know, she developed a name. She started developing some storyline. You know, I started seeing who the people were around her, which were her spirit guides, that I had been painting. And from there, after that retreat, I started getting all these downloads, that basically said, this has to be a book. You have to write it. She had songs, and like, I would get a song in my head, Rainbow Connection, which is from the Muppet movie, Kermit the Frog sings that. That song was in my head for 5 weeks. I could not turn it off. Until I wrote her lyrics that went with it, which was Cosmic Connections. That's one of her songs. The ABCs of Affirmation are another of her songs. So to back up, Cosmic Kitty, her story is literally, it's a fictional story. It is probably for ages 8 and above, although I've got just as many adult readers. The adults love it as much as the kids. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what her story was. I didn't know the plot. I had to just sit down and type, you know, meditate, type. It took me 6 months to even do that, to talk about resistance. I knew I had to do this. It wouldn't get out of my head, but it still took me 6 months to sit down and type. And because the whole time I was also in corporate going nuts and working 70 hours a week in a corporate job. So I was doing all this simultaneously. And when I finally sat down and started typing, the story just flowed and flowed and flowed. And the plot came through and characters came through. And she's traveling between dimensions. And along the way, she's teaching little concepts around mindfulness and around bullying. There's a bullying theme and how to deal with compassion for bullies. In this case, it was herself. She was bullying herself in another dimension, which is kind of the sci-fi aspect. But you bring in spirit guides and you bring in, you know, some afterlife. And I've got a grandmother that comes through, and because of energy vibrational shifts, she can see her spirit guides when she travels. And, you know, there's all this fun physics stuff that I threw in. And at one point, I even argued with my guides about some of the physics. So they were trying to explain to me why she can see her dead grandmother in a different dimension. And I was like, it doesn't work that way. Energy and vibration doesn't work that way. And they're like, yes, it does. I'm like, no, it doesn't. I don't get it. I don't understand the story I'm supposed to be typing. And it took me an hour before they were able to get the connection for me to show me what was happening. And I was like, oh, now I understand. So, you know, so literally the whole thing was just given to me. I just typed it straight as I got it, straight in storyline. You know, of course I did some cleanup afterwards. I put my own sketches
in there. Did you ever see yourself as an author? Have you always wanted to write a book?
I've always kind of wanted to write a book, but I never knew what it was or why.
Okay.
So, and there's several books actually that I've always wanted to write, some nonfiction. I never thought I would write a children's book. I don't have children. I've never mm-hmm. wanted children. I have a niece and nephew that I adore and love giving them back. So for me to do a children's book was like, what am I thinking? You know, but it's what I was supposed to do.
So the Cosmic Kitty thing, when you were doing it, was just a doodle, right? And it just came back to you during the session out of nowhere.
Exactly.
No, yes, out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And now it's a book.
And now it's a book, and it's dolls. I have merchandise. So I actually have five of the characters are in doll form now, and stickers and things like that. I'm working on some scripting for, you know, maybe TV or for a movie or for puppet show, you know, however it emerges. But I'm feeling strongly that I need to do some little segment scripts in addition to some of the additional novels and some younger kids books.
So we got a few minutes. Time keeps moving. That's what it does. So I want to ask you this, you know, from the premise, this thing that I'm calling organic spirituality, that place, that space, that energetic space that, you know, if we can surrender to it, if we can pay more attention to it, first of all, by even questioning what we believe, because other people program us to believe in stuff that's not even in alignment with our own truth, to uncover the BS that we're trying to live out, somebody else's idea of success. So when the spiritual work for me, I see that it's getting into that organic space. Now, with your journey, where you are today, what are some of the lessons that you've learned of the importance of listening to your intuition as well as using your logic to take action?
Yeah, actually, and a lot of what I do now with organizations and with individual clients, and even in some of my kids' stuff, is about how do we create conscious transformation. So we're going to all go through transitions. I mean, it happens, right? Life moves forward. Change is the only constant. We've all heard all of that. But we're going to go through these transitions. But how do we turn them into conscious transformation? And for me, one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is that it has to be a conscious choice. And that's why meditation is such a great thing. There's some new research. So when I think about bringing in things like meditation, there's great research about why meditation allows us to be more conscious in our decisions and choices and catch ourselves. I think the hardest thing for me has been to catch those programs and those negative thoughts and things that were not really me. Because I don't know if you realize this today, but there's some research that says 47% of the time that we're doing something, we're not actually paying attention to it.
Right.
Our mind is off doing its own thing. Mm-hmm. And so to change and be aware of our thoughts and what we're creating and what choices we're making means the first step is you've got to actually recognize you're making those conscious choices, that you're making those choices and thoughts.
Mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Become very mindful about what you're doing. Yes. Yes.
And I knew it was a good idea. I didn't get as behind it until I read the research, getting back to the logic side, right? When I started going after the science of it and the research around meditation that shows that 8 sites of the brain light up when you are a long-term meditator, that you actually shift into the prefrontal cortex. I mean, there's all of this great new research Harvard and others are doing around why meditation physically makes such a difference in our conscious awareness. And even the business community is really accepting it. Google is doing, they have a whole entire workshop, you know, like a week-long workshop they do for team members around meditation and mindfulness. So we're starting to see it mesh. That consciousness is so huge.
Yeah, that is the balance. There's a reason we have a left brain and a right brain. So it's no point saying, oh, don't listen to your logical. You got to blend the two together. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect marriage. If you want to birth a child, you need a male and a female to come together. If you want to get your car moving, you need the positive and the negative. So we don't have to judge the logic or the intuition. We need both. Well, Shannon, there's still like 10,000 questions and topics I want to talk to you about, but we got to about 6,000 of them. Anything you want to share with our listeners before we release this show?
Oh, I was so thrilled to be here and just so enjoyed this. I want you guys though to remember that the journey, enjoy the journey. If you're looking too far into the future and always planning about when you're going to be happy, that's never going to work. Find a way to be happy now with what's happening, and then the path will unfold for you. Don't wait for some future date for things to work out for you. Yes, and if you want to learn more about that, I've got blogs and all kind of good stuff and resources, and you're welcome to email me if you have specific questions at shan@shangale.com or contact me on my website. I'm happy to answer questions individually.
You're such a pro doing interviews. Everything I was going to say, you're just throwing it out there, so I don't have to say it. Good. Shannon, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story, for being an example of what it looks like when we say yes to life. It is time to release the show. As Shannon said, find a way. Discover what makes you happy. But before you do that, you may even want to decide, ask yourself, what is happiness? What really is it? Because do you really know what it is? Are you looking at happiness as other people's interpretation? Maybe that's the thing. You think other people's interpretation of happiness, definition really, is what happiness is. You need to know what it is for you. It is time to release the show. I gotta go. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for growing with us and just allowing yourself to fall in love with yourself. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Ade Show. I am Ade Anifowoshe on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you dance with life and the way you create your reality. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Christy.
There is a space in my heart where I find the truth. I find me in you, a truth beyond what you may see now. But when we are one, we bring more good about. No matter who or what you call yourself or where you come from. Yeah, there is a place in this world with open arms right now. Welcome to love, welcome to peace, welcome to our community. Be who you are, let your light shine.
Good to me, 'cause I'm so ground. Cold and drunk as I might be,
can't jump jet plane.